Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Charlie Baker.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily. We were joined in the studio, weren't we, Andy?
We were, by Terry Alderton and his good pal, surprisingly, Jonathan Pearce.
Yes.
Well, I don't mean that surprisingly, but you wouldn't put them together normally.
Not normally, no, but they were very funny together. It was a very, very nice bit of time. And we had Martin Kellner and Todd Macklin on. They were very, very good, so we've put them on the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
That's nice, isn't it? Well, it was your decision, Andy. Paul's not here. Paul's back on Monday. This is Charlie Baker. Here they are. What time is it? It's 1:05 and 49 seconds. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Andy.
I would have definitely read that, but it's time check. But
it's
good
time
afternoon.
Check. And I wrote the script, and I nearly read, but it's time check. There we are. How are you, Andy? Nice to see
I'm
you.
I'm good. Good to see you, Charlie. Yes. Paul was a bit upset that I was so enthusiastic about working with you yesterday.
You're like, oh, good. It's no yes.
Last night, I was looking around for a bit of sport to watch.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. And, nice change for you.
Well, that's right. And I caught a bit of Speedway. I worked it out. I only ever watch Speedway to prove my point, which is there's never been a race in Speedway where the bloke who's leading at the first corner doesn't go on to win the race.
Is that how it always works?
Well, it was 2-0 last night to me.
Well, I tell you, we'll have Speedway fans getting it. I've been to live Speedway twice.
Yes. No, to be fair, it's very, very exciting before they get to the first corner.
Yeah.
All that bit beforehand is great, but that doesn't last very long. But never mind, I quite enjoyed it.
Enjoyed a bit. Which teams was it? Can you remember the names of the teams?
No, it was individuals. It was two semi-finals. I didn't stay for the final.
All right, there we are. I didn't want to watch the 100, no? Last night?
It's all right. It's a bit much, isn't it? There's a lot of it. And I mean, there's been some great... I watched David Milan play a great knock. Smead played a brilliant innings.
Yes, amazing.
There have been, but I don't know, you know. It's all a bit crash-bang. Well, I'd still prefer the old Test cricket, really.
Yeah, I do. I'd prefer the Test
cricket.
But
I am going. I'm going to the 100, and it's good for kids. I'm going with my grandchildren in a couple of weeks' time.
I think that's what it's for, isn't it? To try and get them in there. Yeah, get them in there. We were talking before. I was saying, oh, Charlotte, you're on news, and Ben, you're on sport, because often I've forgotten people's names when I'm staring at them, Andy.
Oh, I know.
And we were going to do other cool subjects, but I think your one is even better, which is when have you forgotten someone's name?
Yeah.
It's always brilliant. I was once on stage staring at the comedian Rich Hall. Staring. I was comparing the gig.
It's so bad, isn't it?
And I'm staring at him thinking, I don't know this man's name. I do not know who this is. And I'm there in Edinburgh late and live. You know, he's the big headliner. And I've not really built him up. And I'm staring at him going, I cannot remember this. So what I did was step away and I go, everybody get really loud, really loud. Please welcome.
Really? That's kind of
that's
how,
all I could think to
that's,
do.
That's kind of what I did too. I was producing fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
At the final show of the 70 that I produced, we had a rap party, as you do in TV. And two women from the studios had been our caterers, been in the canteen for all the shows.
Yeah.
And I knew that they were Val and Doris.
Okay.
But I didn't know which one was which.
Oh, wow.
And my wife came to the party, and they're standing there, and they come over to me, and she's standing there, so I'm like, well, I've got to introduce them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, God, which one was which? I just went, this is my wife, Sue. Val and Doris. With a sweep of the hand.
Val and Doris, lovely.
A good cover there, cover-up.
A good way around that, I was told once, because you know when you're standing with somebody and you've got to introduce them, you don't know their names, or you've forgotten their names.
Mm.
A good way around this, desperation way around this, I was told once, is this. You go, I'm really sorry. I'm introducing you, Andy. Mm. I'm really sorry. I've forgotten your name.
How do you feel?
No. What do you say? What did you say? You say
Andy.
Yeah. No, not your first name, your surname.
Oh, yeah, very good.
It's good, isn't it?
And you've got
I mean, people will know I've been doing that now for my whole life, but it's a good way around it.
That is very clever.
We'll take those 81089 or at TSHNJ at TalkSport on Twitter. When did you forget somebody's name and how did you get yourself out of it? We may even take your calls 03717 223 4. And the other thing I wanted to get you going on this afternoon was, I don't know if you saw this, Andy, Vahid Halilhodžić, there's a name you wouldn't forget, Vahid Halilhodžić will miss another World Cup after he's been...
That was a bit of an Alan there, you pronounced it different both times.
Oh, did I? I just jumped in and went confidently at it. He's been sacked by Morocco.
Say to him, Vahid, what? Sorry, I forgot your name.
Oh, of course I know it's Vahid. Halilhodžić.
Yeah, that's good.
No, that'll do it. He'll miss another World Cup after he's been sacked by Morocco, which is a shame for him. But it's not the first time he's missed a World Cup. He's been fired as Ivory Coast head coach. This was 4 months before the 2010 World Cup. And by Japan, 2 months before the Russian World Cup. So it's happened again.
You could say he's a qualification specialist.
Yeah, exactly. He's good at getting people qualified. He's never actually been able to. So I did think we could do, when did you do all the work but take none of the credit? I mean, you've written jokes for lots of people, Andy, haven't you? You've written scripts for people. I've written jokes for people. And I don't actually mind if I've written a joke, someone going out and telling it and them getting the big laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think, oh, well, I'm a bit to do with that.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah.
I mean, that's not getting three teams qualified for the World Cup. And then and never actually going to a World Cup.
Not quite as bad.
Not quite that, is it? So,
when
did you forget someone's name? When did you do get all the work and get none of the credit? You know, maybe at work or something like that. 81089 or at TSHNJ, at TalkSport, 03717 223 4. Got anything for us, Sandy? Do you want to kick us? You normally have some lovely stuff to kick us off.
Well, there's a piece on it's really good. There's a piece on MM Raducanu in today's Sun, and it's got to the point now where they don't even mention the tennis. They just, I mean, she went out in the first round as usual, and it just said Emma Raducanu proves she's a tower of strength on returning to her birth city, Toronto, where she was playing in the Canadian Open and went out in the first round, but don't mention it, and served up this update on Instagram. You think she's more active on Instagram than she is on court?
I mean, it is amazing. Her story has been amazing. I'm a big supporter of her. I think there must be some reason that it's not clicking in. Because with tennis, you can't just have a blip where you win all those games in a row.
No.
And win a Grand Slam. Unless it is, and that's, you know, that's her legacy. That she's done a... Maybe you've done a Raducanu or become the become the phrase. Yeah, there we
are. Meanwhile, Brooklyn Beckham wants to open a pub in L.A.
Yeah.
God. I thought to myself, there's no jeopardy in this bloke's life, is there? You can open a pub, it can be a complete and utter flop. Who cares? Go and do something else. It's brilliant.
Do you not go to Brooklyn Beckham's pub? Do you know what he's going to call it?
Yeah, I've been asked suggestions for
the
that.
Left foot. the right foot in swinger. No,
I don't think so.
No.
But it's not his dad's pub. It's his pub.
Yeah, sure.
It?
I mean, and he's earned the money.
Known for anything really?
Got a mortgage on it? Is he?
I should doubt it.
Brooklyn Beckham's pub.
What can you do? Well done to Sun reporter Graham Nicholas yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Who got a laugh out of Scott Parker by basically wrapping four pieces of gaffer tape around his arm. It was a nice touch.
What was that,
actually.
Andy? Do you know you're a sartorial expert?
What's the name of the guy? He's a famous
designer. It's a designer, is it?
Yeah, Tom something, I've forgotten now. But, yeah.
It's a designer, that's his thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all right. Horrible jacket,
did he
really.
Put gaffer tape round his jacket or electric tape? It looked like electric tape.
It could be electric tape,
electric
something
tape,
like that.
But
it was simulated. And Scott Parker, to his credit, thought it was very funny. But he says that he believes his team can get a result to Manchester City tomorrow. Well, they can, but they won't. I mean, obviously, you can't say that. But
Not. Right, well,
you never know. Highly unlikely, but who knows?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Charlie Baker and Andy Jacobs with you through until 4 o'clock. Paul's off until Monday. So it's me and Andy. Andy, we've been speaking about Vahid Halilhodžić. which is the fifth different way I've said it, and how he'll miss the World Cup after being sacked by Morocco, having previously been sacked by Ivory Coast head coach and by Japan. He's never been to the World Cup. He's done all the work, got none of the credit. We've been asking for your stories on that on 810 89 or on at TSHNJ. This is a lovely one here from Degsy in Essex. Many years ago, when I was learning to drive, I was calling my driver instructor Jim. He'd written on the side of the car, Jim Melrose Driving School. Learn today, drive tomorrow. And then the telephone number. Whenever I had him talking with people, it did not sound like they were calling him Jim, but I addressed him as Jim and he always answered. After about six weeks, I decided to find out for sure as we were driving along a dual carriageway one sunny afternoon. I said, Jim? And he said, yes. I said, is your name Jim? And he said, no, it's Doug. We then fell into a redundant silence. Absolutely lovely. When did you do all the work? Exactly. And when did you get someone's name wrong? The next two people, you can't get their names wrong. I've known both of them. Well, I've known Terry a long, long time.
Hello.
I've met Jonathan a couple of times and I've listened to Jonathan my whole life. So it's absolutely lovely. We're joined in the studio by legendary commentator Jonathan Pearce and comedian and Southend fan Terry Alderton. Good afternoon, Jim.
No legend. just a bloke. Supports a rubbish football team. Does a few jokes.
Terry, you blow hot and cold is the thing. Your career's up and down. I don't know where we are at the moment with your career. Are you hosting live at the Palladium or are you...
No, I'm walking around my house crying in my pants.
Exactly. We're at one of those states. It goes up and down, Terry.
Now, on the face of it, this might be an unlikely friendship, but you two have known each other for years, and I've often seen you at the football writers going together. So you are mates, and is that how the podcast came about?
Yeah, we've been friends a long time. I was doing a commentary at the famous Roots Hall, home of Mighty Southend, and they were playing Crystal Palace. I was doing it for Capital Gold, and all of a sudden, Southend scored, and a lunatic jumped up in front of me, giving me a load of jit. And a few months later, I saw him on stage, this lunatic down in Balham, and I said to my missus, I think that's the aforementioned hooligan. We went down to meet him, and it was.
Yeah, me. Yeah. We had no right in scoring, let alone scoring this winner against Palace. And it was, I think we were 1-0 down and we went 1-0, 2-0 and beat them. They were fighting to go up, I think, to the Premier League, and we were fighting to stay up. And, of course, my mate had pre-said to me, look in there in the box there, the commentary box, that's Jonathan Pearce there. Yeah. So I'm going to, so it is. So as soon as we scored, I'm going, bang, bang, on the glass. And he's looking at me going... He's commentator. You can't see it, obviously, but he's commentator. But look at him. He's got to go, what are you doing with this?
We used to, because a lot of the press boxes, commentary boxes, used to be glassed in, you know. You'd be behind wooden and glass. And I remember we were at Peterborough. When Peterborough played Brentford. It was a year that everything changed and went to Premier League, 92, okay, wasn't it? Yeah. So Brentford, if they won at Peterborough, could go up two divisions effectively in a day. And I went up with Bobby Moore was co-commentary with me then. Anyway, we went up and they put us in a seat where when the door opened to the press, we couldn't see a third of the pitch. We just couldn't see it because the press man was stood up in front when you're doing the commentary. So I said to Bobby, you stand up and Brentford were kicking from left to right in the first. You point, if it's Brentford in possession, point left to right and do the numbers on your fingers. So I know it's a Brentford number 7, Billy Smith, whatever it is. Then he does 8, passes it to number 8, Joey Jones. And of course it was fine until it went out on the left wing and went to number 11.
Oh,
we couldn't work out. It was silent. I think Brentford won. They went up anyway.
Sure, it wasn't Norwich for Ipswich. You'd have been all right. You're a Palace fan, aren't you? What's that like when you're...
No, I'm a Bristol City fan.
This is all... You told me he was a Palace fan.
I'm a Bristol City fan.
They think he's Palace City or fan. Arsenal, don't they? No, he's Bristol.
All my life.
And have you ever had an affinity for Palace?
A lot of clubs. For my first game I ever saw was at Chelsea. It was a 0-0 draw back in the city. I think they played Sheffield Wednesday. It was a 0-0 draw. My second game was Bristol City 0, Derby 0. My third game was Halifax 0, Port Vale 0.
Nice.
I don't know what it was
all about.
Welcome
to football.
Nice.
No, Bristol City. All my life.
Your whole life.
Yeah.
It feels like at the moment Bristol City, they've had a few years having a good go at it. And it feels like that sort of charge has weakened a little bit.
They need to understand what they want to be, really.
Yeah,
do they really want to go for the Premier League? The chairman's got a lot of money, but he's put it into infrastructure. It's a fantastic stadium. It's a great setup. Bristol Sport with the rugby club and the basketball venue being built and everything, and the women's club very strong down there now. So that's where a lot of the finance has gone to build all that up, and well done for that. And now they need, I think, to give the manager support and get them up into the... If you're midway in that championship come New Year, you've got a chance of making the playoffs, haven't you?
You do. Oh, yeah, it's the same in the National League, where South End United are. You can be rubbish till about end of February and you still get a chance because you can come eighth. How do you think South End have got on in the National League?
Well,
Terry?
I think you're right in what you said with me giving it a wig straight back up, and then you get there and that is a proper punch up, isn't it? I mean, it's a real free for all. I think the problem with what we've been trying to do, I understand what Kevin Mayer is trying to do as manager. He wants to play, as everyone wants to play, fashionable from the back. But John Stilley, who's upstairs, old Stilley, John Still, he knows. I think it comes down, like, get some bangers in there and bang your way out of that league. You've
Hasn't
really
Stan,
got to bang your
Stan
way
Stan Collymore got involved
there. Stan's
the
there, yeah. Yeah. So it's all got back on track. So I think we're going to be better this season. I think the lads that are together, they've got together. You know, when you want a team to gel, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but you do. Well, we were just saying this about Forest before we came in.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that team got them up. There's all that elation, and then they brought, they brought in 14 players.
Yeah, loads of players have been brought in.
Historically, it hasn't worked.
Didn't with Fulham, did it?
No, it doesn't.
But you could just change the manager then, in my opinion. You go, well, let's get a manager who knows the Premier League. I mean...
Well, he's a good manager.
I'm not having a go at Steve.
I was fearful that Forest.
I
always think this about team managers that get teams promoted and then the team struggles and then they get sacked. And you think that's so unfair, really. But we'll see what happens, because he's a good manager.
Now, tell us about this. We've chatted a little bit of football there. Tell us about your new podcast, Jonathan, the football friend. JP and T. I'm assuming you're JP and T.
JP and T, the football friendly.
The football friendly.
That's brilliant.
Whoever came up with that name was. There must be a legend whoever
the
came up with
that friendly.
Name.
I know, which is strange, really, the football friendly, because we hate each other. But anyway.
It was originally going to be called JP and T Lunch With.
Yeah,
Lunch
okay.
With JP and T, because we
planned to go out. And take the restaurants, and that's what we've done one. We've done one lunch, and then we realised actually what we thought that the restaurants say, yes, it's a great idea, you can have the restaurant for free.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
And all the booze is on us. No. And
if only there was a phrase, such thing as a
Bart system.
Exactly. So we can't afford this.
300 quid each later, we went
So every 6 weeks we're going to do it. Any restaurants out there would love to have us, please contact us.
Tell us about the football. Friendly, is it about you two as friends watching the football?
And also, you mentioned John Still there, he'd be a great example. He's a proper football person, a real football person, and that's the sort of I'm gonna, from the world of football, I'm gonna have in people like that, or current players, ex players, managers, so on, commentators, radio presenters. If we fancy inviting you, and then from Terry's world,
and then I'm gonna bring on people like from the showbiz world,
lovely.
So football meets showbiz. So the likes of the likes of people who can sing and do comedy, Charlie Baker, we'll have people like Charlie on next. The one on Monday we're recording.
What about Lulu?
Oh, Lulu. They've got to know about football. I'm not sure that Lou knows about football. And I haven't seen her in years.
So you were on that programme with her?
But that was 1999.
Was it?
Do you know London's Burning when I was in that? That was 2001.
As I say, your career blows hot and cold.
Why? You're not kidding. Every 20 years.
We're going to keep you on into the next section. So we're going to break. Okay. We're going to break.
Okay.
We'll come back to
you
for the next section. Jonathan Pearce and Terry Alderton with us in the studio after these.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Charlie Baker and Andy Jacobs with you through till 4 o'clock. We're joined by Jonathan Pearce and Terry Alderton in the studio. They're laughing
Don't
about something.
The secrets.
They can't
keep the secrets.
Sorry, Charlie, but we were just saying every time we go back on air, Andy puts his hat back on. I said, why do you keep my broadcasting hat?
It's confidence.
It's confidence.
Do you know what I love? Well, it works.
Do you know what I love about the programme? Because I listen a lot. I love it when England has scored 586 for 2 in the first innings of a test, and then I go to Andy and And you'll be grumbling.
Yeah,
because you should have been 586 for one. It's fantastic,
Jonathan. Yeah, you want to be in? Terrible, you want to be in that seat on a Monday when Chelsea have lost and Andy's not here? The amount of tech. Where's Andy?
Oh, they
Where's
give it
Andy?
To.
All those oh, yeah. sorts of things. Well, we are joined by.
I'm sure they'll get one on Monday. Don't worry about that.
We are joined by Jonathan Pearson Terrells, and I've got a podcast out called The Football Friendly, available on all podcast platforms.
Yes,
I'm
everywhere.
Assuming.
Yeah, Apple, Google, on your smart speaker. All on that, just say, yeah, if you just put, say, JP Football, it'll come up. Jonathan Pearce Football, Terry Alderton, it'll come up. You're fine.
You wanted to mention your other podcast.
Oh, I've got another one out as well called Bear With Me, which is completely different. This is more like a cartoon of a podcast, which I am now getting animated. But it's basically a guy who lives with what he thinks is a man in a bear costume, in a man costume, in a bear costume, living in a house, Turkey Cock Lane, in Turkey Cock Cottages. Just outside Colchester. It's a real place. Before yeah. you dump me, it's a real place, right? And a bear basically is a bear. But he's the only people who can understand when the people live in the cottages. And he lives with Ed and their mother. And she lives under the stairs. She's their smart speaker.
This is the career going up and down, Terry.
Yes, yes.
What I'm saying to you.
No, he's doing very well, though. That's the mad thing.
Good.
Can I just say, it's bonkers, and you've probably
it's bonkers.
It's completely mad, but it's doing extremely well.
That's
and
good.
I just thought I'd come on and say I'm not just a football. I'm rubbish. No, it's called Bear With Me, and it's doing very well. But you've got to stick with the first two. Don't just give up. You've got to stick with it.
How many voices are inside your head at any one moment?
They're all here all the time.
Oh, no.
It's just hard work. And as we're on it, I'm at Colchester tonight. There's 20 tickets left.
Oh, yeah, go to Colchester to see you tonight. Yeah. We've got somebody here just said Terry's just I remember Terry in the film Blackball playing the doorman with Paul Kay, and I've just got my tickets to see him at the Lights in Andover.
Oh great, yeah, that's doing well.
There we are.
There's not
good.
Many left on that one.
There we go.
Well,
enough
no,
about
good.
Terry.
You made a good point though, Charlie, about the
thank you for that.
The current situation with Ben and Eubank is perfect.
Oh yeah,
you,
so good, because of course his son speaks the same, so this could be Junior, and that's also because Chris has changed his teeth, so he speaks more like Nelson Mandela now. That paper. It's going to be something. And I had done our Connor talks, but if it's anything like Nigel, you know, like he goes there, like he's going to run out of breath at any moment.
I said,
he does that thing. He does that thing. I like that. Nigel does that thing, and he goes, then he goes really deep. He goes really deep, and he goes, I can't breathe no more.
You know what story? When I did it, I did a few with charity things,
yeah.
And with Nigel, and he's telling the story about this and that, and I start doing Chris Eubank, goes, not yet. Anyway, in the end, he gives me a little jab in the kidney.
Oh, you don't
right?
want that.
I swear that he pulls it, and I thought, what are you doing, man? You could beat the hell out of me. But I thought, one thing I can do is I can take this whole audience from you. So anyway, cut a long story short, 300 people in this Essex hotel. All of a sudden, I went, right, balls to this. And I just did him and Eubank while he took a seat. He sat down while I'm doing him, doing that. And may I say this, someone, I would say this to you. Listen to you, ugly man. Don't you call me ugly, right? So there was all this going on. And yeah, wraps it all up. Big round of applause. He gets up. He starts clapping. And Nigel's probably listening to this. He starts clapping, right? And he comes up to me and he gives me a big hug with his face turning away from the audience. And he goes, if you ever do go with that, wasn't that brilliant? He just wants to kill
That's
me.
That's fantastic. Jonathan, when you came in, you noticed that we were on the 17th floor. And it's interesting because, and you were a little bit concerned, because we share the same fear of heights.
Yeah.
And how does that work in terms of gantries? Because I remember climbing the gantry at Upton Park.
Well, coming up here today, because I always thought you were in the Shard.
Right.
So I thought I was going to have to go up the Shard. And I stood outside and Terry said, we're going to the news building. I thought, oh, thank God for that, I don't have to go up the Shard. I don't like it at all. So if we're in a commentary position that's very, very high and very near the touchline, I cannot look over the edge to the near touchline. I have to do it from a monitor.
Really?
Because otherwise, you'll hear Robertson clearing for Liverpool down the right.
Well, famously as well,
great commentary.
Famously, the worst gantry that you would never go up is now in front of the Gilbert and Rose stand, which is the west stand at South End. See what I did there?
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
Not jumping on the comedy bandwagon.
No,
but that is, if you've seen it, Charlie, haven't you? That little, it literally is a ladder onto some scaffold. I mean, you would not go up.
When you were doing, I think we should get Eubank and Ben onto the JP&T football friendly lunch.
Yeah,
we go out for lunch.
That'd be nice.
And we're going to take it out.
They can
pay. You could just
I could sit there doing them to themselves and all that. Yeah, I'd say
they're
trying to
break Bruno.
We've had the one lunch so far, and we did get terribly drunk.
You're allowed just to go for lunch.
It was 600 quid, right?
You don't have to record it.
It was in Bugatti's restaurant in South Croydon. Very other restaurants are available, but it is the best. And it was 600 quid, I think, and about 40 quid of that was food.
I love the fact that because we had our guests, JP bought Tony Gale, and I bought Paul Hardcastle. You can't not do that.
It's just a
standard joke.
Paul really well,
so yeah. Paul came, and it was quite funny because you know, Paul's lovely, and you know, he's done all right for himself. And he did say, "Do you want a hand with the bill?" And I went, "No, it's all right."
multi-millionaire.
We've got it.
We're running out of time, but we should talk about women's football because as Charlie said in the break, there, you've been a pioneer of that and. Yeah.
I remember doing England down at Portsmouth and it was so badly organised. It was, you know, we couldn't get the, I think it was Bulgaria they played, and we couldn't get the Bulgarian team for anyone. And so I had to being an FA official, go up the tunnel and say to the Bulgarian team, I need your 11. Are you a member of the English FA? Yeah, I am. Give me your team. They give me the team. I've walked out. The English FA official is looking at me down her nose. But it was like that. It was all a little bit shambolic. And then it's become this unbelievable product now. The European Championships were great fun. I was lucky enough to do the final for the World Feed. We got over 120 million, I think, worldwide watching. Amazing. Did games for the BBC as well during the tournament, of course, as I have done for the last 10 years. And it's a privilege to be there and to watch some of those players who I've seen since they first come through. Mm. And when they won it, I was crying. I was blubbing like a baby.
Wow.
I was with Anita Sante for the final. It was a terrific player, ended with injury, and such a lovely lady. And they are, you know, I'll tell you what it's like, boys. It's like being with England in the England Men's Hotel in 88, which I was lucky enough to stay with Bobby Robson. The players were so approachable all those years ago. Yeah. You could have a laugh. You could be with them.
Yeah.
And it's like that. Just like that. They always go over and see the fans afterwards. It's super. It's absolutely, it's brilliant.
To see that development, and if you've been there since day one, it must be absolutely brilliant to see that.
It is, yeah. Now the big question, Charlie, WSL needs to fill Stadia, because if it doesn't, that legacy will quickly diminish.
And how do they do that?
They've got to. I think they've got to get more games, more women's games in the parent stadia, which they're doing a little bit more this season.
And also in the afternoon, I tried to book some tickets recently, and I did actually for the Chelsea West Ham game to take my grandchildren. The women's game, but a lot of the games are at 7 o'clock at night. That's no good for kids. Sunday night.
I still think they need to. I mean, the pitches are fantastic nowadays. I think they could put a women's game on. The clubs will say no, this is impossible. But a women's game on at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, and like they do with the 100. Yeah, same idea. And do that.
But you know, these things for the future. But they've got to take advantage of this moment now and move it on. If you were at Wembley Stadium a couple of weeks ago and were there and lived that moment, you understand the importance of it, because it was a very, very special moment.
Fantastic. The podcast is available on all podcast platforms. Yep. JP&T, the football friendly. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, gentlemen.
And we've got Tony Pulis and Bobby Davro on that one. Did I say that? But there we are. Thanks for having us
together again.
Together at last. Lovely.
Pulis and Bad Davro. Yeah. I mean, you can't beat it.
A mixture of an entertainment and football. It just won't work, will it, Andy? It just won't work. You won't get anywhere with it at all. There we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Charlie Baker and Andy Jacobs with you through till 1 o'clock. Just heard Ben Fletcher leaving the studio there, Andy, going 1 hour till the weekend. Nice that he's happy in his work, yeah, isn't
it? Tremendous, isn't it?
Just looking, oh gosh, got to do this hard job. Talking about sport. Tricky. For another hour.
What can you do?
There he is. That's where he is. There we are indeed. I was going to say to you, we've been asking for when you've done all the work and received none of the credit. Or the opposite, which John Bez has told us, who's a Leicester City fan. I once got given an award in the school assembly for raising £1,000 for homeless people in Leicester. Mm. The teacher had made a mistake with his certificates and got me mixed up with another John. Oh. I literally did nothing to help, but I still have the certificate.
Well done.
Well done, John. Very nice.
You mustn't cut into Martin's time.
Oh, no, no. Martin has... Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, Martin. Yeah, we're joined by squad number 9, Martin Kellner, who's going to cast a wry... says here, a wry eye and a sideways glance over the weekend.
Not a wry eye in the house.
And worst sport on TV. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. If you've ever tried casting a wry eye and a sideways glance at the same time, you look ridiculous. You really do.
You can look around the corner. Very good. What have you been watching this week?
Well, first of all, a little bit of advice to Fletch.
Okay.
What he's doing actually has a name these days. It's called quiet quitting.
Yes.
Have you read about that?
I've read about that, yes.
Quiet quitting.
You've read about that, Andy?
No, it's interesting. It's when you sort of don't do the full job. You know, sometimes you say to me, what have you been watching on TV this week? And I say, well, nothing really. I watched Strictly, but that's about it. But no, this week there's been tons to watch. And if you're a young footballer in South London and you haven't been on a documentary this week, have a word with your agent. Two of them both came along together. There's one on Sky called One Shot, The Football Factory. And this is about young players being discovered playing cage football. As we know, quite a few have been over the years. The other one's about the Crystal Palace Academy. It's a cracking show. It really is. Channel 4, it's a Channel 4 documentary. It's called Football Dreams, The Academy. Now, obviously, it's mostly a sort of plug for the Crystal Palace Academy, but it does seem that every single thing that you can do to look after the, you know, pastoral care and psychology and everything to look after the health of these under 12 footballers has been done in what they call one intense year. But of course, you realise that there are three of them that they focus on, three of these kids, and you realise that the chances are not all three of them will make it. The chances are none of them will make it. And that's, you know, that is just the brutal truth behind these academy schemes. Fewer than 1% of footballers picked up at a young age will succeed. And they're such sweet kids. And they nearly all have ambitions for their mum. Do you know what I mean? Mm. They're living in rented accommodation in South London with their mums in, I think, all three, well, in a couple of the cases, certainly, and just want her life to be better. There's one that, you know, and it breaks your heart because, you know, this has only been episode one that I've watched, and I think there are 6 episodes of this. But, you know, very one of these kids is saying, I want to get my mum a Bentley SUV. Mm. And you think to yourself, she just wants you to be happy.
Yeah.
She just really wants
it's
you
kind
to
of sweet though, but yeah.
Yeah. It is sweet. But you know, we know it's not going to happen, but we didn't see that. And because the idea is that it focuses on the Crystal Palace Academy, obviously you have a lot of interviews with Patrick Vieira and Steve Parrish. Who says, arguably he's right, that South London is now one of the main two or three football hotbeds in the world. And when you look at the players that have come from South London, Jadon Sancho, Tammy Abraham, Avant Wan-Bissaka, Callum Hudson-Odoi, loads of them, and Mikel Antonio, who came a sort of slightly different route from the academy route. But South London, I suppose, can now be compared to some of the places, you know, in Brazil or Argentina that have been thought of in the past as hotbeds for young footballers. Mm. And given that, it was lucky to, you know, it was lucky they sort of hit on this this under-12s academy at Crystal Palace, which, as I say, Crystal Palace obviously very much behind the documentary with them. But you know that it is going to be a human story. Some of these players will fail. And there doesn't seem to be a plan B or much of a plan B. It's not as far as the clubs, you know, as far as Crystal Palace is concerned, I'm sure they'll do what they can for these players after their after they don't make it onto the next stage. But there's always the, you know, there's always a problem that bigger players come in at different age groups, yeah, and take some of those places.
Yep.
It's going to be heartbreaking, I'm sure it is. First episode, not particularly heartbreaking, very interesting. But the other documentary that's on Sky, called One Shot, The Football Factory. This is about footballers who sort of come up through the cage football system, if you like, just playing in the streets and all that. And the super scout, Errol Johnson, who scouts footballers and is also a Talk Sport listener. I know that because...
Good afternoon, Errol.
Yes, good afternoon, Errol, because we could see him driving to... and he says cages are the best. I mean, he would disagree with everything in the Crystal Palace Academy thing because he says cages are the best. That's where you really find a player. And cage football sort of teaches you to get out of tight spaces. And you see him take a team to Cheltenham to try and sort of audition, if you like. These are all cage footballers in South London, go to Cheltenham, so it's a bit of a culture shock.
Not the races with Alan Brazil,
okay. Sadly. It's playing against...
Playing football, okay, sure.
We ought to move on, Martin, because we're running out of time. And let's...
Oh, already?
Well, you know.
All or not. You've
done a lot on the first two, haven't you?
Yes. All right.
We get the idea.
Yeah, I get the idea. Let me move on then. Can I move on?
You can.
I watched All or Nothing.
Been in the news.
Yes, Amazon Prime, some millions in this on this documentary, and you're giving me 30 seconds.
No, you've got
basically
longer than 30 seconds.
But yeah, well, it's All or Nothing is now a brand, if you like, on Amazon Prime. And they hit the jackpot because they had a season with Arsenal. It was last season. We know what happened last season, beaten by Brentford in the first match, beaten by Chelsea, and absolutely thrashed by Manchester City. So obviously, they've got their story from the start, and that is that Mikel Arteta is under pressure, and there's nothing that TV likes more than a manager under pressure. We've all seen The Office with Ricky Gervais. But it is interesting because if you've watched the other two documentaries, you know, about the young footballers, you can see what happens when you get to that that Bentley SUV level from the chats with Bukayo Saka, where he's suddenly noticed that he can't, to use his words, he can't do normal things anymore. Mm. And he talks about going to a Waitrose in North London, and when he's trying to get out the store, there's eight of the staff waiting outside for autographs and all that. And, you know, that's Waitrose. That's not Pound Stretcher or Morrison's. That's Waitrose. And I don't know whether he's talking about the Waitrose on Holloway Road, but I've been in there.
Wow.
And you get a lot of famous people. Now, I've seen Henry Winter in there. Francis de la Tour, who used to be...
I saw Martin Kellner in there once.
Yes, well done, Charlie. But you know what I mean? It changes lives. And, of course, the other great strand in the Arsenal or Nothing thing is, I think, what's called, what posh critics call braggadocio, the braggadocio of Aubameyang, who we know, I mean, that's what makes these things really good.
You know what happens, yeah.
You know what's going to happen. You know he's not going to be swanning around in his gold shoes and his big gold Porsche motor car or whatever the hell it is. Is it a Lamborghini? Apologies to any motor dealers listening. I know we are very popular with
that.
As the son of a car dealer, I do need to get those sorts of things yes. right.
You absolutely do.
Now you've only got a minute for the Commonwealth.
Commonwealth closing ceremony.
Right, closing ceremony started with Claire Balding saying, "We are ready to rock." And I thought, you know, Claire Balding, she's ready for lots of things. She's not ready to rock. That's, you know, bless her. Bless her, she's lovely at what she does, but she is not ready to rock.
I don't think so either.
And they delayed the news, as I thought was good. They delayed the news for a couple of minutes for Dexys Midnight Runners, who they got back from Madame Two Swords, and they were doing doing a number because of one of the famous sort of Midlands bands. But the sound was, you know, it was good to see all these bands, Black Sabbath and Dexys and everything. The sound was pretty awful. And the only other thing I will say is Claire was saying something at the end to a panel. She said, well, that's part of the messaging. There was a little bit too much messaging. You know, I don't like to, there was a little bit too much messaging. Because it was, you know, a multi-sports event, which sports fans were all happy to see. Maybe they could have pulled back a wee bit on that, but that's all I'll say.
There we are. Martin, you finished, you fit it all in the time. You've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
Are you back tonight?
Bless you. Yes, back tonight at 1 a.m, but without my producer, Jed Mills. So he's off for a couple of weeks. So anything could, like the government, he's taking time off. So anything could happen.
Anything could happen tonight.
Very political, this show.
These guys really putting the boot in, aren't they? They really are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
He's done well, John, to work it out from Sky scoring. You never know what's going on. It's the worst graphics ever.
It is difficult to work out. Maybe it's based on baseball. Let's find out. I mean, I don't know if our next guest will know. Of course, that music is Todd Macklin's music. Hey, Todd.
Charlie, Andy, how you guys doing?
Very, very well. Todd. We're in the middle of a heat wave, Todd.
Oh, yeah? We're going to have a heat wave, I think, Monday, Tuesday, because that's when Harry Styles is scheduled to perform in Toronto, and I would guess it's going to get pretty loud down there. I can't think of a bigger artist in the world right now. So we're pumped for Harry Styles. Can't wait.
Will you be down there singing Watermelon Sugar? Huh?
I will not be down there. I know. And listen, I got a 21-year-old. Her and her cousin have been trying to get tickets. It's tough. Like I said, I can't think of a bigger artist. Then you get the ticket touts know that he's popular. So they're, right, jacking up the prices, then you know, online, you're never quite sure if you're buying legitimate tickets. So, listen, my daughter and her cousin will continue to search for these tickets. So,
exactly, yeah. They're going to have a good time, Todd. Yeah, good luck. So, this clip went viral in the week, and I saw it, and I had a slightly different reaction to it than Andy did. But there's the little league baseball player who hugs the distraught pitcher.
What's happened to us? Honestly, it's baseball.
It's an empathy voice going on in the studio.
No, because this kid's pitching and he hits the batter, which happens in baseball. He didn't do it deliberately. And the kid was perfectly all right. He got up. And then this other kid on the mound, the one who threw the ball, not the one who got hit, he starts crying. You think, you haven't actually done anything to him. Well, so, you know, it's not...
No, it's empathy, Andy, isn't it? He's worried for his friend.
And the crowd came up and the fans and the manager comes over. You think, oh, for goodness sake, don't play baseball then.
Yes, well, I will say this, Charlie. The majority of people had the opposite reaction of Andy. They actually thought it was a pretty good moment. And remember, Andy, I should point out, these are 10 to 12-year-olds, right?
Come on, Andy.
It's no, different, I like a bit of tough
love myself. So yes, you're right. Normally, you would expect the guy who got hit to be upset. But as he got up. He was okay. He got up to first base. Or walked to first base and noticed the pitcher was visibly upset. Mm-hmm. So he went out and just said, hey, listen, I know you didn't mean to do it. Everything's okay. And most people, again, I will say most people thought it was a pretty nice moment. In a week of pretty good moments for baseball, I don't know if you guys know, they had the Field of Dreams game field in Iowa last night. It was the Cubs and the Reds. And listen, both those teams are bad. You know, when they did it last year, it was the Yankees and White Sox. You put the Yankees in anything, it's a big deal. They had all kinds of home runs last year. You know, you had two terrible teams. You know, it was a 4-2 game. But again, it was the magic. It was the magic of the movie Field of Dreams, being on that field. And for the Reds and Cubs, who are not going to play an important game this year, it was a pretty great moment for them to be able to be in that spotlight, because that's a game that was showing, you know, obviously in North America, but all over the world, because it was, you know, so played at such an iconic field.
It'd be great if they did the Field of Dreams game and no one turned up.
Build it and, well, no, again,
and no one will.
You know, I mentioned the quick thing about Harry Styles and tickets. You know, ticket, this was a, I think they said it was a Reds home game. Now, the average ticket price for a Reds home game was about $39 this year. Tickets for this game, because there were so few people, it was, you know, $800, wow, something like that, for a ticket, right? Because there's so few people and because it's such a, you know, such a big deal, the game.
Did Kevin Costner appear from the sort of...
Oh, yeah, that was amazing last year.
He did last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't this year. I know he did. He did a tribute to Ray Liotta, who had died earlier this year. But they had Ken Griffey Jr., who was an iconic player for the Reds, and his father, who also played for the Reds. They came out from the corn. And also the two teams, guys, which is, again, like, the visuals of this game is what it's all about. It's not, you know, what happens in the actual game. It's the visuals of all, both teams coming out of the cornfield. The great Johnny Bench, who's a Hall of Famer for the Reds. The great Ferguson Jenkins, who's a Hall of Famer for the Cubs. They were part of these festivities coming out of the cornfield. Then they had, Ken Griffey and his father playing catch, a bunch of other people playing catch, which, again, that iconic moment where Kevin Costner has, you know, plays a game of catch with his dad in the movie. All recreated, and again, all great moments last night. It was a great thing to watch.
It must be a thrill if you're a player, you've grown up watching the film, you know, it'd be absolutely fantastic. Ryan Reynolds is the, I know I'm a big National League fan over here, which is the division in the league that Wrexham are in, Todd, and Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney have bought Wrexham. I don't know how much you know about this, but the documentary is out in a couple of weeks' time. And we've got a bit of audio here where he tells me he didn't tell his wife.
I remember showing up, seeing Blake and saying, you know, I have bad news, and I have really bad news. The bad news is I slipped into someone's DMs again. The really bad news is that, you know, I might have bought half of a fifth-tier National Football League in Wales.
What was her reaction?
Not good, Rob.
No.
No, not great.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're still working through that one.
Yeah, so that was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, but Rob McElhenney was sitting in for Jimmy Kimmel. That's what happened there. How big is this story in the US?
It's big. I will say, too, Charlie, it's skewed for me because Ryan Reynolds is Canadian. I'm Canadian. So it's a big, anything he does is a big deal, especially in Canada. But it is a big deal. Listen, we've talked about it a lot on this show over the years. Buying into English clubs, obviously the Premier League are the ones that people buy into. But, you know, there's a lot of other clubs that have been bought into by, you know, celebrities or people with a lot of money here in North America. So it's a big story. And listen, we should say, she wasn't upset that they bought Wrexham. I mean, great club, right? I think their whole thing is she was upset because she probably wanted him to have the discussion first before he bought anything. Yeah. And she's got to be over the moon. I saw Wrexham won their first game, right? They beat Eastleigh. Is that how you pronounce that?
That is it.
They beat them 2-1. Yeah. So, and you know, too, there's a FX is a channel over here in North America, and they're going to have a show, Welcome to Wrexham. That's I think it's premiering later this month. Yeah. So listen, I think it's all good. And how could you stay mad at Ryan Reynolds, right? He's just too nice.
Todd, I'm a big Torquay United fan. I want you to become a Torquay United fan just to hold up the Canadian end of the Torquay United fan club when all the Wrexham fans come. We've got time for one more in very briefly. Antonio Brown reshares the biggest regret of his career.
Yeah, and he talks about it, and you would think his biggest regret is that time he walked off the field after a disagreement with a coach. He says, no, the biggest regret, and we don't know if he did it or he actually liked it on social media. He said he shared his biggest regret, I couldn't watch myself play. It would have been like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform. Wow.
Fantastic. Well done, mate.
Yeah, pretty full of himself. Yeah, absolutely.
He can watch it on the telly, can't he?
Brilliant. It was an amazing moment when he walked out in the middle. It was the middle of a game, wasn't it?
Amazing.
Incredible.
There we are. Todd, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much.
See you, boys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Pleasure.
Lovely to be on a Friday. Lovely to share the studio with you. Paul's back Monday, and I'll see you Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.